Well, good morning, Thrive Church. How's everybody doing this morning? There we go. Yeah, we got a lively crew this morning. I want to welcome all of you. If you're new here, my name is Sheldon Miles. I'm the lead pastor of this church. I want to welcome all those in the 715 area code who are watching with us online. Leave us a comment. Let us know that you're out there. And you might have a couple people who are kind of yawning this morning. We had a crazy volunteer party of our serve team last night. Can we just give it up for all the people who serve in this awesome church? Man, it was great. We had a great time, and I think the theme was fun, and I think we established that. It was a great time. Excited about Extravaganza and also Easter Sunday. And just to let you know, Easter is just right around the corner. More people are open to accept an invitation for you to come to church during Christmas and Easter. And I just want to encourage you, as you are praying for neighbors and praying for friends, put out an invite for them to come on that Easter Sunday. And I'm really excited about what God is laying on my heart for that Sunday morning. So I encourage you to come out for that. We're going to get right into today's message here. This is a continuation from last week. We're talking about the vow. And I want you to know I am speaking to both groups of people here. I'm speaking to the singles. How many singles out there this morning? Yeah. All the singles who are thinking about marriage, maybe getting into marriage someday. And I'm talking to the married folks. How many married folks are out there? How many are happily married? Raise your hand. Give a shout out if you're happily married this morning. Come on, give me some enthusiasm. Yes. And I hope that this marriage series, wherever you are in your status, that it's helping you, that it's encouraging you, and most of all, that it's equipping you. Because we talked about this before. We talked about what marriage represents. We get in front of our friends and our family and before our future spouse, and we make this vow. And some of you did that years ago, some just recently. Where you at, Phil? Phil just recently, just last Saturday, yeah, gave it up. Nice job. And you make this vow, remember? Remember just last Saturday, that vow that you stood before each other and you said, I take you to be my wife, my husband, to have and to hold from this day forward for better or for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish from this day forward until death do us part. You see, that vow, again, is that commitment. It's like you're committing, each of you, you're in this together. You see, God's vision for marriage is that two entities, that they come together as one. And any time that one or both become uncommitted to that covenant, you got problems, you got difficulties, you got pain, and you got challenges that are coming your way. And that's why we wear a wedding ring. How many, if you put your wedding ring up there, some of you just flash. Oh, man, I see a lot of sparkle out there, a lot of sparkle. You got a wedding ring. You see, that's what the wedding ring is. It's a nice piece of jewelry, but it's a reminder. Everybody say it's a reminder. It's a reminder of the vows that we made to each other, that we've made to family and friends, but most importantly, it's the vow that we have made before God. You see, God is the one who created marriage for us. He established it for us, and it is a gift to us. So today, I want to talk to you, the title of my message, and this is a continuation of last week, and I kind of shuffled it up a little bit. Today is we're going to talk about partners. Everybody say partners. You see, that's what it is. It's a partnership. Partnership is when two people, when they come together and they commit to this. They combine their resources to form an agreement to share risk and profits and losses. You see, in a partnership, they bring their best to the table. Each one, they bring their best to the table. And they look out for each other. They support each other. They help each other. And they work together to win together. And so as we talk about partnership today, our vow is this. You want to follow along in your notes, that I promise our marriage will be about we and not about me. I promise our marriage will be about we and not about me. Because any times it just becomes about me, whenever one or both becomes self-focused or selfish, there's problems that exist. So the Apostle Paul talks to us in Ephesians chapter 5. That's where we're going to be hanging out today, Ephesians chapter 5. And Paul tells each and every one of us, every one of us, that we are responsible. Look at your neighbor and say, you're responsible. You are responsible. You're responsible. Now look at your spouse and say, you're responsible. Look at your future spouse and say, you are responsible. Look at that stranger sitting next to you and say, I don't know you, but you're responsible. Okay. Did I got everybody covered here? All right. He says this, Ephesians 5:33. He says, so again, I say, each man must love his wife as he loves himself. And the wife must respect her husband. Now, he sets the standard high in Ephesians chapter 5. He raises the bar on this. Let me just talk to the husbands here real quick. Husbands, Ephesians 5:25 says, for the husband, this means you are to love your wives just as Christ loved the church, and he gave up his life for her. And I said this last week. Some of this is just a little bit of a repeat from last week, if you'll let me do this. Ephesians chapter 5, it says three times for us men, three different times in Ephesians chapter 5, that we are to love our wives. When every time you see in Scripture where it's being repetitive, it's like, no, I'm serious. I'm serious. This is important. Three times we were reminded. And really that word, the focus of this word, another word for it is to cherish. Cherish. When you cherish something, you love it dearly or you regard it with high value. And men, we are called to value our wives so much that we would lay down our lives for our wives. You're to sacrifice for her. You see, men, we know what it means to cherish. I talked about this last week. We know what it means to, we know how to cherish things. We know how to cherish our hobby. We know how to, you know, if you got a fishing hobby or a hunting hobby, man, we cherish those things that we use in our hobby. We know how to cherish our sports. We got the Packer gear. We got the Ohio State gear. Yeah, I always get that from you. You got the what? Did you just say LSU? Yeah. You get your gear. You take your gear. Whatever you cherish, you take your gear. We also, we know how to cherish our job. We love our jobs. You see, you know that you cherish, man. We know that we cherish something because that's where we put our time. That's where we put our treasures. That's where we put our focus. We always put those things into things that we cherish. And so Paul tells us that we are to cherish our wives. And then it says here, talks to the wives here, verse 33, and he says, the wife must respect her husband. You see, just as wives are born to need to be cherished, listen to me, ladies, listen. It's like, yeah, obviously, husbands, cherish me. The husband is saying, you know how you need to be cherished? You know, like that, you really want me to just put my focus on you? Like, I don't know. God just put it in me. I need to be respected. I need that respect. I don't know. God put that in me here. And so Paul's challenge to the wives is respect your husband as you would respect Jesus. And that's deep. That's really raising the bar here. Respect your husbands as you would respect Jesus. You see, your responsibility is in your notes right here. Your responsibility is to serve your spouse by meeting their needs in the context of love and respect. There's a great book out there by that same title, Love and Respect. And I'm going to talk about that here in a few moments, but I just write that down, a great resource for your marriage, love and respect. But in Ephesians 5:21, this is not in your notes, the Apostle Paul tells us we need to, and I talked about this last week, but we need to submit to one another.
That means we come under that person to serve them. I give my all. When you submit your all, you give your all to that other person. But here's the big idea. The big idea is this thing in marriage, it's called mutual respect. That means both parties are involved. Both parties submit to each other, mutual submission. And what they do is like each one considers the needs of the others. And it's just really kind of, you get this vision of two people who are trying to out-serve and how to out-love and how to out-encourage each other. It's mutual submission. Both are working together. You see, the opposite of submission is selfishness. As I said before, whenever you have selfishness in a marriage, that is the beginning of the end. There's a book out there called His Needs, Her Needs by William Harley. And he said that a lot of our conflict in marriage is not so much selfishness as it is ignorance. Not so much selfishness, it's about ignorance. We just don't know. Because God made us different. How many of you are glad God made us different? Yeah, it's a good thing. It's a good thing that we are different. But that means we need to take time to figure things out. I talked about Michelle and I will be 34 years. Did I say that right? 34 years in June, 34 years. And I'll tell you, every day she's got something new to discover. Amen? Discovering, trying to figure me out. Because once she thinks she's got me figured out, I'm going to change it up a little bit. But because we're different, a lot of times we don't know how to meet each other's needs. And here's the reality. When our needs are not met by each other, a lot of times we feel unloved and we feel rejected. All kinds of problems. You see, God designed marriage. I believe this. God designed marriage as a means for us to meet each other's needs. So when it comes to marriage, we talked about responsibility. I want to just talk about that. What is my responsibility? So throughout the rest of this message here, I want to talk about just kind of go in and out between his and her responsibility. And I want you to know, listen, I'm not Dr. Phil here. I'm not even Dr. Sheldon here. But I did a lot of studying on this. And I just kind of looked that up. What are his needs? And I just looked it up as many, many resources. And then I talked about her needs. And it just seemed like they were all telling me the same thing. So this is kind of a report of some of the things that I gathered here. And I want you to know, I think that we're on the same page. I think we're on the same page in a lot of ways of the things that we need. So I kind of broke it down into four areas. For us that we need in marriage. So the first area that I would talk about our needs, I talk about this principle of core values. Core values. See, each one of us, husbands, we got this core value within us. Wives, you have that core value in us that like this is really important. If you're gonna aim at one, aim for this one, okay? This core value here. And so her core value, she needs to feel loved. More than loved. I talked about this earlier, but she needs to be more than just feel loved. She needs to be cherished. And again, we talked about how, man, we know how to cherish things. And what happens is that this helps your wife feel secure. Again, please don't underestimate this one. This is important. Man, if you want your wife to feel more secure, then this is what your wife needs you to be. Three things that your wife needs you to be. First of all, your wife needs you to be selfless. Selfless. To put your marriage before yourself. I said this last week, but this needs to be repeated. Nothing makes a wife feel more secure than a selfless, sacrificial husband who cares about the marriage. And all the ladies said? Okay. Men, hear this. Nothing makes a wife feel more insecure than a selfish and detached husband who only cares about himself. And all the wives said, yes. So we know that we need to be selfless. The second thing that your wife needs you to be is you need to be self-disciplined. Self-discipline with your finances, that your provision for the family, that you're not just going to go out without her knowledge and buy a fishing boat. It's like, well, we need a fishing boat. How am I going to provide food for the family? I needed that hunting rifle. I need to get out and provide food for the family. It's not working, guys. It's not working. She needs to know that you are self-disciplined with the finances, that you're self-disciplined with the children, that you like to spend time with the children, that you get down on the rug and you wrestle and you play and you laugh with the children, that she's not the only one putting the kids to bed, but you're putting the kids to bed and you're reading to them and you're praying with them and you're encouraging them. Your wife needs you to be a person self-disciplined with integrity, that you are the person that you say that you are. That you're not a different person in the crowd and a different person at home. That she sees that you have this thing, man, this thing called accountability. Accountability. That you're not going around and hiding things from her, but you tell her everything. There are no secrets. She knows your passwords. She knows that you have an accountability partner. She knows. Because she sees you as a self-disciplined man of integrity. And the third thing that she needs from you is she needs you to be self-surrendered. Self-surrendered. And a self-surrendered man is somebody who has surrendered himself to Jesus Christ. And that man has made Jesus the Lord and Savior of his life. That this man loves God with his heart, soul, mind and strength, because when that happens, men, when we do that, when we love God with all we got, it trickles right down into the marriage. And so every wife desires, man, just love Jesus. Just love Jesus. And if he loves Jesus, it's going to trickle down and he's going to love me. Needs us to be self-surrendered. Self-surrendered. See, his core value, he needs respect. He needs your respect. He needs to hear you say you're a good man. Paul does not say, he doesn't say, respect him the way that you see it on television. Please don't do that. Please don't do that. Paul doesn't say, respect him the way that your friends respect their husbands. Please don't do that either. He doesn't say, respect him like your mother respected your father. He doesn't say respect him only if he makes you feel warm and fuzzy. If he deserves it, well, then I'll give him respect. How's that working out for you? Here's what you need to know about men and respect. Ladies, the key to your husband's heart is through your respect. You see, men want to know that they're respected by their wives above every other person. We need your respect. Men would rather feel unloved than inadequate and disrespected. You see, every man feels the need to be successful in at least one area of his life. And if he can't feel that respect at home, men, and here's the reality, men will gravitate towards the areas of their lives where they do feel respected. A lot of times men will gravitate more to their work because men in their workplace, in their company, they're respected, and they're honored, and they're treated that way. And so men will gravitate to those areas of their life where they feel respected. A man's anger is often a response to feeling disrespected. Years ago, we worked with this couple. I won't mention their names, but oh, my goodness. And you know, this couple, they got married, and they had a lot of baggage that they brought into the marriage, and a lot of undealt with issues. And we tried to work with this couple with their issues, but every time that they would get into a fight, they would go immediately hitting below the belt with their words. Immediate, that was their first response, is to hit below the belt. And oh man, she just had this ability to disrespect him in front of him and in front of his family and in front of others in the church. And they're no longer married today because that just doesn't work. But wives, we need your husband needs you to be honoring. Listen to me, wives. You have the ability to help and shape your husband. Honor the man that you want him to be. Honor him in that way. You see, honor is one of those crazy words with men. Men understand that word honor, and they will become their fullest, healthiest themselves in an atmosphere of respect. It's just how we're built. It's just how we're built. So wise, I just encourage you, avoid being critical, especially in public. Instead, let your husband catch you bragging about him in public. You see, men, when men thrive, they know that their wives trust them and they admire them and they believe in them. So, wives, I just want to tell you, I just want to ask you, what is it that attracted you to your spouse before you got married? What were those things? And what did the things that you told your girlfriend about? Or you told your mom about, like, oh, he's this and this and this and this and this and that. Keep your eyes, your focus on those things that you saw in him before you got married. Call those things out in his life. And I just encourage you, be thankful for him. Tell him daily that you appreciate his efforts. And then the third thing I would tell you this is be prayerful for your husband. Listen to me. We talked about this last week. Remember this? The three rules of marriage. Three rules of marriage. This is extra here. Three rules of marriage. Always just remember, you get anything out of this message, remember these three things. Number one rule of marriage, you cannot fix your spouse. See, a lot of head nodding. A lot of head nodding because, like, I've been trying for 25 years. Yes, yeah, we tend to make it worse. You cannot fix your spouse. You cannot fix your spouse. You cannot fix your spouse. It's in the brain there. Okay. Number two, the only person you can fix is you. Let me see those head nods again. All right, head nods. You can't fix your spouse. The only person you can really work on is with you. The third rule of marriage is with God, all things are possible. Right? And so if we're gonna trust God to fix our spouse, I'm just gonna back out and stop trying to be the Holy Spirit, and I'm just gonna be his loving wife, and I'm gonna pray for him, and I'm gonna honor him, and I'm gonna encourage him, I'm gonna respect my husband. Okay? That's what we're gonna do. We're gonna trust God. The second thing, again, we're talking about a couple of things here. We're gonna talk about the principle of connection. Connection is kind of that emotional puzzle pieces that we're putting together here of our emotions. So when it comes to connection, she needs open and honest communication from the heart. Men, I know you're like, what are you talking about? Open and honest communication. Wives need us to communicate in an open and honest way. What does this look like? Let me help you out here. Again, I'm not Dr. Phil, but guys, we have got to practice this thing called presence. Presence. I'm not talking about gifts, but I'm talking about presence. I remember my son when he was about 4 years old. Dad. And I'd always be sitting on a couch and I'm reading a book or I'm watching a football game or something. Dad. And like, that's all I heard was this noise, but I'm just focused on this thing. Finally, my son would climb up on my lap and grab my cheeks. Dad, listen to me, okay? And I think many times our wives wanting to do the same thing. Listen, we need men. We need to practice this thing called presence, being presence. You see, James talks about this, and he talks about being quick to listen, slow to speak, and quick to listen. We need to practice being present, men. We need to practice, number two, being transparent, about being open and honest about how we are feeling. Men, the worst answer that we can give to our wives is, I don't know. How was your day? I don't know. Okay? We got practice. So wives, let me help out here. Let me help out. Text your husband before he comes. I can't wait to talk to you when you get home. That gives him a little time to come up with an answer other than I don't know. All right? But in all seriousness, wives, you just give your husband a little bit of time to recalibrate, okay? Men are waffles, women are spaghetti. Just give us a little time. But man, we need to be transparent. And man, we need to do this. When we talk to our wives, we need to be kind. Let me hear everybody say, be kind. Be kind, yeah. And a lot of times, just being kind is the tone of our words. We talked about this a few weeks ago, but just we talked about how words have the ability to either give life or our words can give death. And a lot of times, it's not even our words, but it's our tone. And man, we need to realize when we come home and we're talking to our wives, it's not like we talk to the men at work, okay? It's a different conversation. And we need to come home and we need to talk to our wives. We need to be kind to them. And so when it comes to connection, talking about men, wives, he needs your companionship. Companionship. You know, researchers have found that men who consider their wives to be their best friend report twice as much marital satisfaction than those who don't. Companionship. Companionship. What does that look like? Well, I would challenge you with this. And wives, be supportive. Be supportive of the things that he likes to do for fun. He needs a hobby. He needs an activity. Let's just face it. A lot of times that little boy just does not grow out of the man. And all the wives said, yeah, okay. So let that little boy exist. Let that little boy exist. But guys, and if you're coming home every single day and the first thing you're doing is sitting down in front of your video games, man, put a timer on it. Man, you put a timer on your kids. Put a timer on yourselves, guys, okay? But wives, be supportive. Be supportive. And they'll be more supportive of you if you put a timer on that. But I would say this, ladies, be engaged. Men love it when you go out of your way to be engaged with them and their world. I remember years ago when we lived in Dayton, Ohio, my wife came home and surprised me, and she got me this really nice Ohio State jacket still in my closet today. I love that jacket. And she got us tickets to the Ohio State football game. If we're very transparent, that's not her favorite thing in the world, okay? She puts on a great act, all right? But I love it. I love it that she even puts on an act to just because she wants to be in my world. And she, man, that was just the funnest day. And she has done things like that ever since. And to be honest, when she sits down and watches football with me, I am more open to go to the antique store with her. And I try. I really try. This is awesome. I try, but do you see what I mean? Just I encourage you to be engaged. And number three, be fun. Be fun. Like I said, that little boy in us, we need you to just be fun and have fun with us and do things together. So we're talking about connection here. The third thing I want to talk about is this thing, this principle called romance. Yeah, okay. Romance. Men, when it comes to romance, she needs emotional affection. And there's going to be a 10-part sermon series on that topic for all the men in the following weeks. Let me try to help it. Let me compact it here a little bit. Your wife needs to know that you cherish her through loving affection, and trust me, it's different than what you think. You see, when you hold your wife's hand, when you rub her shoulders, when you give affectionate hugs, and if you, if again, Do yourself a favor. Ask your wife when you get home, what did he, when he was talking about that thing, what's that called again? Right in my emotional affection. Could you define that for? Ask your wife what that means. But I love this. Talked about this last week. One woman, she described her happiness in marriage like this. This is a little visual of what it looks like. She said, "My husband treats me like someone in a room full of antiques. He walks in, he picks me up and holds me with great care and tenderness. I often feel like I'm the most precious thing in our home. He saves the best hours and his best efforts for me and not the television." Guys, just take that and own it. Acknowledge her desire to be with you and connect with you emotionally. Men, again, I asked the wives this earlier. Remember the days when you were dating and you were trying to gain her affection, flowers and cards and simple text messages, "I'm thinking about you." Remember those days. Don't let those days fade away, but let them continue, okay? You see, when there's a lack of romance, it says that you're no longer on my heart. Don't let that happen. Remind your wife every day how beautiful she is and how much she means to you. Tell her. Okay, when it comes to romance, he needs physical intimacy. Here's the reality. Research shows the reason men want more sex is because of their strong need to be desired by their wives. You see, a healthy sex life is critical to a man's sense of feeling loved and desired. Men simply need to be wanted. And again, I just want you to know there's nothing wrong with your husband. God built him that way. Again, we go back, just as you need that emotional affection, he needs this in his life. You see, what happens is it gives him an increasing sense of confidence and well-being that carries over into every area of his life. God built men this way. And the negative effect is that when a husband feels rejected sexually, it's not just physical, but that she is somehow rejecting him as her husband. And it becomes so much more. Marriage is, listen to me. Man, I read this the other day. This is great. Listen to me. Marriage is God's antidote for sexual immorality. Marriage is God's antidote for sexual immorality. And I just want to warn all of you, if you want to have a healthy, thriving marriage, do not deprive each other emotionally or sexually. Let me say that one more time. If you want to have a healthy, thriving marriage, men, women, do not deprive each other. Do not use that as a weapon in your marriage. Do not deprive them emotionally or sexually, because you will regret it. You see, here's the key. Ladies, acknowledge. Just as you want him to acknowledge your desire for emotional affection, acknowledge his desire to be with you physically. All right, the fourth area, quickly here. Leadership. You see, we both need to lead in this marriage. The word, I like John Maxwell's definition of leadership. He says that leadership is simply influence. And we are influencing each other. There's no greater person who's influencing your life than your spouse. Influence. So I want to talk about her first. She needs a man from you to be a servant leader. Man, not only does she need it, but God has called for us to be servant leaders. I didn't say we're not created to be dominant leaders. We're called to be servant leaders. As a godly man, you're called to be a servant leader. A servant leader is somebody who loves, lives, and leads like Jesus. Man, you are called to lead, to be a servant leader in your home. It's time for us to lead. Jesus explains us, he shows us what a servant leader looks like at the Last Supper. Remember the Last Supper? Remember what Jesus did? He got down on his hands and knees, and he served. He wiped his disciples' feet as a servant leader. Men, listen to me. With leadership, we get this. We understand. With leadership comes responsibility. And I'm seeing it in our world today. We're seeing a message where it encourages men to be timid, to hold back, to be afraid. And I don't believe that it's called to be that. I believe that men, our wives need us to be the initiator. All the men say initiator. Initiator. I talked about this last week, but we need to be the point person. The point person. If you understand military tactics, when a unit goes into combat, the sergeant or whoever's in charge will pick somebody on the team to be the point person. And what that person's responsibility is to go out in front of the rest of the team, the rest of the squad, and he's the one who's going through the path. He's the one who's leading the way, setting the course for the rest of the team. But guess what? Guess usually takes the first hit is the point person. He's the point person is the one who goes first. He initiates. He's the one who goes first. All the men say first. Because, man, we're called to be first. We're called to be first. First to serve. Man, we're called to be the first to sacrifice. Man, you need to be the first to apologize. You need to be the man, you need to be the one to first to pray, first to get the family together on Sunday morning to get them ready for church. Man, we need to be the first, the one who leads in devotions. We need to be the first to listen. We need to be the first to love. You see, that's what a godly man does. That's what an initiator does. Your wife needs you to lead in a way, listen to me, your wife needs you to lead in a way that inspires her to follow. He needs, I want to talk to the wives here. What our husbands need, talking about leadership. Wives need a man who's a servant leader. Men need a wife who will be a cheerleader. And I don't mean this in any negative connotations whatsoever. It's just the reality. We need a cheerleader. We need at least one person, the most important person in our lives, to be that person who is for us, who is our main encourager. We need somebody in our lives who is the closest to us, who will lead in a way that inspires us to want to be our best. That's what a cheerleader does. The role of a cheerleader, the purpose of you go to a sporting event, is for encouragement. Encouragement. Ladies, I want to encourage you to lead in a way that encourages your husband. You see, here's the deal. God made us men. He made us to want to be great, but we struggle. A lot of ladies, they struggle with this thing called insecurity. Us men, we struggle with this thing called self-esteem. They're basically the same thing, but we struggle. And I just want to remind you, ladies, there's nobody who influences us men more than you do. I want to encourage you, ladies, men will become what you validate in them. The reality is we will become what you validate in us. Tell him that you appreciate what he does. Tell him what a good job he's doing. Tell him why you love him and why he's good. Tell him he is strong, a provider, handsome, makes you feel secure. Validate his feelings and emotions as the warrior inside your man. Listen to me, wives. Hear me on this. This is not a pride issue. It's not about pride. Pride is when somebody is like, it's all about me. But this is not about pride. You're not feeding his ego. It's not about feeding. You're like, I got to tell him something nice. I got to feed his ego. That's not what it's about. You're feeding his love tank. And that's the way God made him. So speak it. Speak life. Tell your husband all these words. If you could just tell your husband, look him in the eyes. In fact, I challenge you to do this for 1 week. 1 week. Speak life into your husband. Just one comment a day. Tell him he's a good man. Look your husband in the eyes and say, you're a good man. And then tell him why. And watch what happens to him. Watch what happens. Speak that life. Be the encourager. Give him authentic attaboys. Give him the attaboys. Okay. I know some of you are just like, you're chuckling, you're laughing, but this is the reality. This is how God made us. And your responsibility, everybody say responsibility. Responsibility. As partners in this union that God has brought us into, your responsibility is to meet each other's needs by being a husband worth respecting. Men, you want your wife to respect you? Then be that man that's worth respecting. Just be that man. Be a man of honor. Be a godly man. Wives, Paul says that we're supposed to lay down our lives for our wives. Be a wife worth dying for. Just be that person. Be that. Somebody said this, the greatest picture of marriage is two individual servants in love with each other. Let me say that one more time. The greatest picture of marriage is two servants trying, in love with each other, trying to outserve each other. And I believe that that is the picture that God would have for us. So as I close out this message today, I want to put out a challenge for you, okay? Again, sometimes there's confusion. As I said earlier, it's not so much as because I just don't know. Now, it's not that I'm being selfish. I just don't know. And I think we just need to have open, honest conversations. And so men, remember we talked earlier, you're the initiator. You go first. I want men to initiate a date with their wife or their fiance or somebody that they're dating, okay? I want you to be the initiator. You set it up. Set it up today. Get it on the calendar. When it gets on the calendar, it gets done. All right, men. Set up a date. Sit down and have a conversation where there's little distraction. And then I want you to ask these questions. Husbands, ask your wife, explain to me what in the world the pastor was talking about, okay? Tell me what it means to you to feel loved. And then listen, write it down, okay? Wives, don't attack your husband. Well, when you do this, it doesn't make me feel loved. Talk to your husband. Wives, husbands, our wives, ask your husband, what is it that makes you feel respected? All right, I've talked enough here this morning. Maybe you're here this morning and you're struggling and you're hurting and you're wounded, okay? In marriage, because marriage can do that for you, can do that. I just want to encourage you right now. What are the steps? What would I say to a couple that is struggling? I would first of all and say, listen, right? The first thing you need to do is you need to invite God in. You need to kick the enemy out. You need to invite God in and kick the enemy out. The second thing that you really need to do is you just need to just go ahead and forgive. You need to either forgive or you need to apologize. But you just need to right here, right now, it's whatever happened, it's done. We don't live there anymore. I forgive you. I apologize. And then you need to pray for each other. So I want to do this right now. I want to pray for marriages because we know we're living in a culture that just seems to be anti-marriage. And man, we have discovered that this can be the greatest thing that we've ever had on this earth. And so I want to pray for our married couples right here, right now, in Jesus' name. Lord, we know that there's folks who are sitting here and they're struggling, they're hurting, they're wounded. And right now, we invite you into this situation. And God, we say, God, forgive me for my part. And God, I pray that you would bring reconciliation. And God, I pray that you would just give us a pathway to move forward. In Jesus' name, amen. Before I close out, I've talked about marriage, but I want you to know marriage is the second, remember, talked about this earlier, the second most important relationship you'll have here on earth. The first most important relationship you will have here on earth is your relationship with Jesus Christ. And I no doubt there's people who are, might be here today or watching online who do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ, and you're wondering, how does that happen? And it starts with invitation. And if you're here today or you're watching online and you would like to invite Jesus into your life, you want to have a relationship with him, just pray with me this prayer. Just say, God, I need you. I have run from you. I've avoided from you too long. I'm inviting you to come and live in my life. Forgive me of my sins. I recognize for what you did for me on the cross. And Lord, that you rose again the third day. And I choose today to make you Lord and Savior of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone said, amen. Let's give God praise.
Thank you so much for checking out the Thrive Church podcast. I hope you were inspired by the message today. If you liked what you heard, please like, subscribe, and share this podcast so we can impact more lives. Remember, wherever you are in your faith journey, you are welcomed, loved, and accepted. Have a wonderful day.